This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
The NFL draft starts 2 weeks from Thursday, which makes it a perfect time to head out to Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline and be joined by Pete Prisco from CBS Sports, the man who invented mock drafts,
absolutely,
among other things. And he just dropped a mock earlier today. And Pete, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So let's go right to the Ravens. And you have them taking Donovan Isiraku. Why do you like the fit of him there?
Well, he's a good edge rusher, has speed off the corner, explosive player. I think he's viewed by NFL teams a lot higher than he is by the draft Knicks. Might not even be there when they pick, by the way. And you have, what, three expiring contracts on the edge? Isn't, if I'm not mistaken, Van Noy, one-year deal, Owe.
Yes.
On a, what, and so is Ajabo, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you got to get, you know, and I know they have Robinson and they like him, but you got to get more. And so in that scenario, I say take the pass rusher. And the Ravens have done a good job of that in the past.
Did you think about someone like a Derek Harmon there? Or did you think about a safety there?
I'm not taking a safety there from the Ravens. You know what I would do if I were the Ravens? And I don't know if they've talked about this. I'd move TJ Tampa to safety. If you look at him, he has the look of a safety, the body of a safety, and I think he could be a good safety. In fact, he was on my better than team last year because I thought he would be a guy that could move to safety. So we've seen guys move to safety in the past. So I wouldn't draft a safety in that spot. You know, I would consider a defensive lineman if they fell to you there. But you talk about taking Harmon. You know, I'm not sure he's going to be there when they pick, but yeah, there are other. This is a deep draft for defensive tackles.
Absolutely,
I think you can get guys. So I wouldn't. I probably would pass on that and take the pass rusher.
Pete, going around the AFC North, how do you see the Browns handling the second pick?
I think it's going to be Travis Hunter. I don't think they're taking the quarterback. You know, guys I talked to in that organization, it doesn't sound like it's going to be a quarterback. They don't love Shedeur Sanders. If you don't love him, you pass on him. And so you take the best player in the draft. And the best player in the draft is Travis Hunter. I think if you look at the way he plays, he could do so many different things. And I'm, hey, look, I initially thought I'm going to evaluate him as a corner because I think it's the value position. But the way the game is played nowadays, the receiver has almost become as valuable as the corner. And he's a he has a chance to be – I think he's Justin Jefferson light. And I'm not saying he's not going to be as good as Justin Jefferson. He's just not as big.
Yeah.
But I think he has a chance to be special as a wide receiver. And so the Browns take him, play him at wide receiver, add some juice to an offense that will need it, no matter who's playing quarterback, and then go into the draft next year. Or maybe even come back at the back end of the first round and get a guy, or take one at the top of the second. And I'll give you an idea. Kyle McCord, the quarterback at Syracuse, a guy I really like, by the way, is also went to the same high school as Kevin Stefanski, just for put that in the back of your notebooks.
Talking with
Pete, they could also still, at some point, Arthur Blank's going to realize something for Kirk Cousins is better than nothing, and I got to eat some money to save a lot more, and they could eventually do that.
Yeah, but there's bad blood there with Arthur Blank and the Falcons and Kirk Cousins, and they weren't real thrilled with what he did by calling him out with the injury during the season. And that's why they exercised that $10 million option. Otherwise, they would have let him go. They're kind of holding him hostage. And me personally, I'm with you, Jason. I'd be getting rid of him. I wouldn't want him around the building with my young quarterback. But there is bad blood there. And sometimes you know how that works out. Teams, you know, they wanted to get showed up. And he kind of showed them up.
Gets personal.
So I think, yeah, So if they don't make a move for him, I agree with you. If they make a move for him, I think he could end up being the quarterback in Cleveland with a young guy behind him, a guy like Kyle McCord.
We're talking with Pete Prisco. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. I want to stay in the AFC North, and we can get back to the draft, but I am curious your thoughts on what seems like inevitably Aaron Rodgers going to Pittsburgh.
Oof.
And even if they do get Aaron Rodgers, they got to look at taking a quarterback at 21 if they like one of those guys. Say Sanders fell to them. You know, maybe fell to the teens, the mid-teens. Then maybe you make a move to go get him. Or if he falls to you, then you got a decision to make between Dart and Sanders. But they have to address the quarterback position for the future. Getting Rodgers is good for the now. That doesn't solve your problem going forward. So what I would do, and Dart might need a year or two to adjust to the NFL game. Sanders might need, 10 games, 12 games. Mm-hmm. Play Rodgers, sign Rodgers, play him. If it's good, it's good. Then you keep him for the next year. If it's not, then you get rid of them, and then you bring in you let the young guy start the next year. So I think that's something they have to strongly consider in round one is finding a quarterback.
Pete, do you consider Aaron Rodgers an upgrade over Russell Wilson?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Pete's like, a Rodgers guy.
Yeah.
Times 15. If you go back and watch, the last six games of last year for Aaron Rodgers, he started to look like Aaron Rodgers again. They lied about the injury. I think the injury was far worse than they let on. And remember all the talk in December of 2023, he's going to come back. Sure he was, because he wasn't the same guy for the first six games of the season last year. He didn't move around. When Aaron Rodgers can't move around like he does, he's not the same quarterback. But as he got healthier, as he got more comfortable with it, and the season moved along, he was a better player. And if you go back, he threw more touchdown passes than Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert last year. He was good in the last six games of the season. So is he still Aaron Rodgers? No. Is he better than than Russell Wilson? Yeah, so are a lot of guys.
Cincinnati Bengals have a lot of money obviously tied up in a couple positions on their offense, but the offensive line still, to me, begs major questions, and the defense was horrible, and I don't know that it's fixable in one draft. And Trey Hendrickson certainly seems, the media tour he went on last year, certainly seems like he's still not a happy camper. How do you size up the Bengals going into the draft?
Well, you're right. The offensive line still has issues, but they can get a guard at some point in this draft. And that kind of really, because the tackles are fine. Brown and Mims will be good at right tackle too. The tackles are fine. They need to get a guard. They can play Cody Ford at one. They signed Lucas Patrick on a 1-year deal. He played good last year. You can get by with those guys. So the line will be fine. The offense is not a problem. The worry becomes the defense. And you mentioned it. But remember, they're making a change at coordinator, and that's a good thing for them. They played way too much vanilla coverage zone defense last year. They got all these corners who they think can play man-to-man, Turner, mm-hmm. Cambritt, Taylor, Dax Hill. They all play zone so much last year. Didn't play to their strengths. So I think those guys will be better on the back end. They got to get Geno, no offense, Ravens fans, they got to get Geno Stone off the field because he's a liability. And then you talk about Hendrickson. What's he going to do? What are your options? You going to sit out? Nobody sits out. You're 31 years old. You're not sitting out. So he'll play, whether he gets a new contract or not. And then they go from there. So I don't think they're as far off as anybody thinks they are. In fact, the Ravens and the Bengals are the two best teams in the division. I think they'll both compete for the division title again next year.
Pete, and we're talking with Pete Prisco. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. You've got three quarterbacks going in the first round. Do you like these quarterbacks?
No, I mean, I like them. I don't love them. And that might not be a bad thing for those guys based on my track record, though. So that might not be a bad thing. But, you get some right, you get some wrong. And I've always done that. And so does the league, by
right.
the way. But I don't love – I like Cam Ward. I don't love him because I think he leaves clean pockets. He turns simple plays into great plays, but they should be simple plays. And you don't know what I mean when he moves away from – phantom pressure and gets outside the pocket and throws a laser down the field. But when you're supposed to go 1, 2, 3, 4 and get the ball out, that's a negative in my mind. So he's got a good arm. I like him. I don't love him. I don't love Shedeur Sanders. I think there's nothing about his game. When you look at it, you go, whoa, wow, the arm, not great. The ability to move, not great. He's not big. He doesn't have I just don't think he's a great quarterback. Jackson Dart, I don't like him as much as other people do. The Shuck kid from Louisville is 27 years old or whatever he is, and he's been at like seven schools for a reason. I don't love him. The guy I like is Kyle McCord. And by the way, I think the league people you talk to, and I know, Jason, if you talk to him too, but if you do, ask him. They like him much more than Draft Cult Twitter does. I can tell you that. And there's a reason for it. He stands in. He makes the throws. He's tough. He had more deep balls, I think, for completions than anybody else in the draft. So he's got the willingness to stand in there and make the throws. He's not a great athlete. He's good enough. You know, I just think that when you look at the body of work, what he did at Syracuse last year after what Ohio State did to him, I think he's got a chance to be a good quality NFL starting quarterback.
Pete, I see that you have the Giants selecting Shedeur Sanders at pick 3, but if Sanders gets beyond the Giants, how far could he fall?
Well, no. Actually, I have the Giants.
He's got to take him out of Carter. Mark.
Yeah, I haven't taken Carter.
Oh, I might be looking at
I'm looking at an older mock.
He's got New Orleans taking Shedeur Sanders now.
Yeah, I haven't taken him at 9. And when I look at it, you look, Derek Carr, give me a break. Yeah. He's not the answer at quarterback. He's also, the contract's a problem. They got to get out from underneath that. And you got to get a long-term quarterback. And it makes sense with Kellen Moore coming in there to find a young guy. Spencer Rattler's not the long-term. So why not take Shedeur Sanders and take your chances? There's a big difference between taking one when you're Kellen Moore at 9 and taking one when you're that front office in Cleveland at 2. You know what I mean? So particularly with you got that other guy sitting there who's the worst trade in the history of mankind on your roster making all that money. So I think Shedeur Sanders to the Saints would make some sense.
Pete Prisco, before we let you leave, when does the top 100 players come out? We look forward to that every year.
Probably in June sometime. What do I got coming up? I got my Who They Should mock draft.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
By the way, I usually do better at that because I figure it out better than trying to guess it. And then I have my Better Than team comes out next week with guys I like better than the scouts, which usually I hit a lot of those guys over the years, Levante David, Grady Jarrett, guys like that. And then I got my real mock draft the day of the draft. So then I got grades. Then I got to regrade the 2022 draft, which I always do. I regrade the draft and regrade myself. And, boy, I tell you what, you go back and look at some of the grades you gave those guys, and you go, what the hell was I thinking?
They ever going to give you a day to just chill on the beach?
Yeah.
That comes after the draft.
Okay.
That comes to get the draft over
with. Get through the draft. Two more weeks.
Yeah, 2 more weeks, and then you can start chilling and relaxing. Absolutely. Play some bad golf. Lay on the beach and relax. That's it.
Pete, thanks so much, man. We appreciate
you, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we're
almost a Hall of Famer.
He's close. I think next vote.
He's teetering.
Yeah. We'll have to see if he has Aaron Rodgers over Lamar Jackson.
That'll be
a
determining factor.
Still loves Aaron. Yeah. 15 times.
He's an Aaron Rodgers.
He's always hated Russ, right?
Yes.
That was
from the giddy up.
Yeah, that was a bane of contention between
Ryan versus Russell Wilson. Yeah. That would be our discussion.
Oh, wow. Jason, obviously, we're all dog people, and Jason has something to say about bad dog people next here on The Fan. So as you know, on this program, by the way, Ben, you're not a dog person, are you? But the other three of us are.
No, he's a dog.
Are you a dog person?
He dog sits.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He dogs.
Okay, good.
Then we
got your back.
Well, he's got the bird. He's violent.
Man.
He was almost as angry as was when Miller left. So we're all dog people. And obviously, we love our dogs. But Jason, I'm going to give the floor to you. There are some people that just maybe don't deserve dogs?
Well, I had a little interlude walking Gigi and Meatball on Sunday, and it's still pissing me off. Could I get the Misfits, please? Angry Ben.
I got something to say!
I'm inside access.
So let me set the stage here, because this really grinds my gear. So Sunday, it got a little warmer later in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I take the two dogs, the two older dogs, for a long walk. Copper is like 16. He barely walks around the house, let alone take him for a walk. And we're around Towson High School, and we're around the front of the school. Again, there's a lot going on. So there's a grass field there where there's a group of probably 6 or 8 kids practicing lacrosse. There's a softball field there at the front of the school where there's like a practice going on. Down the hill, there's a baseball field where, like, I guess they would call it unlimited age baseball's going on. It's a lot of adult males playing hardball. They're playing They're not using aluminum bats. They're playing hardball wood bat league. Unlimited age range. And then there's the new AstroTurf field adjacent to it where there's a girls' travel soccer game going on. So there's a lot going on. A lot of people out walking their dogs. And I can see coming up the hill is this older couple. And I can see a collie running like 50 yards behind them. So I start going real slow with my dogs. And I see this couple approaching. And now he's probably like 75 yards away. My vision's not great. But I'm staring daggers into him because I know that they don't have their dog on a leash. So he finally gets close enough that he can see that I've now stopped with my two dogs. And I've got them both healing. And I'm just staring at him. And he's like, are they friendly? I'm like, you need to put your dog on a leash. And he's like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, I would put your dogs on a leash, your dog on a leash now. So we stay back. The dog keeps running around. His wife eventually kind of gets the dog together. I keep my distance far away from him. I'm close to like the softball field. He gets about 10 yards behind me and goes, you're welcome.
Oh.
I mean, it took everything for me, like,
poke that
not
bear.
not to totally lose it on him. Like, first of all, it's illegal to have your dog not on a leash like that. Second of all, this wasn't 9 o'clock on a stormy night when you don't expect a lot of people to be there. Third, there's all these activities involving people as well who aren't paying attention to your dog and what your dog's doing. And even if you have the most friendly dog in the world, like he's put off that I didn't just say, yeah, try it and let's see what happens here. Like, is he not a total moron?
I am just so proud of you, and I think it's the Tempur-Pedic bed that made
so
you
much happier,
calmer, and not.
Well, I'm not done telling the story.
Totally different, Jason.
Oh, maybe you did go at him.
But I will say today, because I meant to bring this up during bounce back fallback. Yeah. I went to just catch up on some reading this afternoon after I walked the dogs, and I got myself in the zero gravity position.
Almost fell asleep.
I did fall asleep.
Oh my gosh!
The bed has a mind of its own. Hmm. Get yourself to Mattress Warehouse. So I do. Like, I didn't lose it. Like, I didn't lose it like I thought I might.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I gotta say something to this guy.
Oh, jeez.
So, you know, I was like, hey, Karen, now's not the time to show off in front of your wife.
You said that?
Yes.
Wow.
Which I thought was completely within my bounds. I'm like, you're the one who is out of line here, not me. And then he's like said something like, oh, yeah. And then I did fire back. But like, think about the balls on this Karen. Like, I didn't initiate anything. I went out of my way to keep my dogs away from the situation. Like, I shouldn't have to know how my dogs would react to a situation that they don't have. They shouldn't have been put in the first place. And then because I didn't give him the answer that he wanted, he's got the right to start some ish with me.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like people assuming it's okay just to like have your dog off a leash. Like, you don't know the other person's dog. They're total strangers.
Having it off leash with all of that going on, I mean, it just takes for a dog to see something and then take off and just run at whatever. I just think that.
Or like, the field's open. Somebody else comes through with their dog and their dog's real friendly. And then their dog does go after your dog, even though he's on a leash. Like, why would you provoke that? Like, it's like the second or third time it's happened. Like, I was walking them probably 6 months ago, and somebody, we're in our residential community and the streets are small, and somebody just has their dog running in front of their house, not with like a collar on or anything, but just like a puppy running all over the place off a leash, like in the street and stuff. I'm like, shouldn't there be, like, you have to take a course to get a dog. You got to take a course to drive. Should these morons not have to have some sort of training
unfortunately,
so that they know better?
Yeah. Yes, but it'll never happen. Unfortunately, there are bad dog people.
But I'm the bad guy in that situation. You're welcome. Better hope I don't see you again, bro.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
I dare you.
Dare him.
Oh, I dare you. Yes. Oh. I dare you. I dare you to come at me again.
Oh, there you have it.
Especially if I don't have the dogs I have to worry about. Like, if my hands are free.
What if he's got a meter and he's a P1?
I don't care. He's got something coming to him.
Okay.
Jackass.
Coming up next, Orioles won 5-1 last night against the Diamondbacks. They play again tonight at 9:40. Baltimore baseball tonight at 6. It's the Bone and Jim Hunter. And part of our Baltimore baseball tonight coverage, Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. How concerned is he about Zach Eflin? Zach Eflin, we'll ask him next here on The Fan. Orioles win 5-1 last night, back in action against Arizona tonight at 9:40. Baltimore baseball tonight, the Bone and Jim Hunter at 6 here on The Fan. And we're the main takeaway from last night, though, is Zach Eflin and the shoulder fatigue. And let's go out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where we're joined by another member of Baltimore baseball tonight. He's an Oriole Hall of Famer. It's Mike Bordick. And Bordy, thank you as always for your time. So how concerned are you about Zach Eflin and his shoulder?
Well, Ken, I'll tell you what. Thanks for having me again.
And, thank you.
I am very concerned. I am more concerned about what the heck is going on with all of our injuries,
mm-hmm.
and now a couple of shoulder injuries. I mean, is somebody answering for this, or is it just a fluke? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. I mean, everybody's going down right now, and when I hear shoulder. It's one thing, elbow, okay, I think Tommy John, they're done. But shoulders are different because your rotator cuff is there. And we just saw what happened to Suarez. Had to put him on the,
60-day.
60-day. So there's just too many big question marks there. Yeah, this is very concerning to me. Absolutely.
Bordy, we've had to sit through a lot of Little League Baseball here in a short period of time. And we saw a lot of the fundamentals on this team erode last year. Bad base running, not controlling the run game. Pitchers seem disinterested with holding runners. Guys throwing to the wrong base. Guys missing cutoff men. Am I crazy to think part of this could be because that stuff that doesn't show up in algorithms, like that doesn't show up in anybody's calculations, like that there's not as much analytics on that stuff. And like you need a bird dog scout to tell you that O'Neill can't move laterally anymore. You're crazy to play him in the outfield that much. Like, his instincts aren't great. Like, you know what I mean? He doesn't know when to slide at home plate. Like, I'm starting to feel like they've got some holes in their game that they might not just be able to fix themselves.
Well, that's interesting you say that, Jason. I just think, because you hit the nail on the head when you said instincts. I just think instincts in the game of baseball are starting to just get pushed aside, and it is literally becoming the Strat-O-Matic board game
mm-hmm.
that the analytic group believes in. And you know, the beauty of the game, and I mean, on the Be More Baseball podcast the other day, we had Bobby Dickerson, and he talked about the art of the game is being lost. The instincts, the poetry, you know.
Yes.
There are incredible athletes out there. But to have that instinct to know to hook slide at home plate when you just sense somebody's going to tag you, you know, the ability to make those just instinctive reads on reading a bat swing to know that the ball's going to be hooking away from you or pushing away from you in the gap. I mean, it's that stuff that you think, what is kind of going on? And I think, yeah, I think it's fading away. It's unfortunate. I hope they can bring it back. And I hope players themselves look at this and really want to bring it back.
Like, you were here and you played with the greatest Ripken of them all. And you understand what Ripken baseball means. And you understand what the Oriole way means. And when you don't really value pitching and you don't seem to value defense, and guys don't know when to be on the bag for a double play, and guys can't throw to a cutoff man. Like, it pisses me off. What is your, like, do you have a visceral reaction to it? Like you lived it. Like, you know what Baltimore baseball is supposed to be. Does it piss you off?
Well, it does in the sense that it's just cold. You don't feel the strategy inside the game, how guys subtly make little moves because they realize it's a different count or the scoreboard. You know that a hitter's going to try to do, you know, a different thing with the bat. Or you know it's double play depth. So you got the importance of that double play. So you might want to tighten up a little bit so six hoppers don't make it through the middle of the infield and there isn't a double play turned. You know, those kinds of things are just starting to get lost because they go straight to the number. This is where you play on this guy. This is where you play. And so to let a guy have some artistic freedom out there and say, yeah, but I'm seeing the swing, and it just isn't playing into where I am. I'd like to take a step or two to my right. I don't know that a lot of players have that freedom or even think about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Honestly. So, yeah, and in that sense, you hope to see more, because when there are those guys that have that just pure instinct and they know what to do, and we've seen it. I'm not saying the Orioles don't have that. It just hasn't shown up here early in the first 11 games, that's for sure. You know, throwing behind runners. Some of the most beautiful plays are like when Manny comes in on a slow – you remember when Manny came in on a slow roller?
Yes.
He faked the throw to first, and yes, he just flips it behind his head to J.J. Hardy, who's standing right on third base, to make the play. I mean, it's that kind of stuff. Just true baseball stuff that – you don't see that often, and when you do, you just appreciate, wow, somebody still got it.
We're talking with Mike Bordick. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. I got completely distracted when you brought up Strat-O-Matic baseball, Bordy. I got to be honest. I did you ever actually play Strat-O-Matic baseball?
No. So, no way. So, I'd rather go out in the backyard and play it.
So, obviously, I don't look anything like you. I played a lot of Strat-O-Matic baseball as a kid. It just reminded me, we had a whole league at Camp Skylamar one summer, and Dennis Rasmussen threw a no-hitter for me in a Skylamar League Strat-O-Matic baseball. He went 18-6 for the Yankees.
We're really taking advantage of Bordy's time now.
He mentioned Strat-O-Matic. It just brought back memories.
I played status pro baseball.
I hope you didn't take offense to it.
No, I love to. Hey, I love Strat-O-Matic. I appreciate the memories.
All right, great. There you go.
Well, Bordy, let's get back to last night's game. Zach Gallen was on the bump for the Diamondbacks, and his prior start dominated the Yankees, had 13 strikeouts. The Orioles, they got him out of the game before he completed 5 innings, 5 earned runs. What did you think of the O's approach against Gallen last night?
I thought they looked good, man. And you know, they're just inconsistent right now. So, you know, one night they're good, next night they're bad. When they are good, wow, it just makes you say, holy cow, these guys can beat anybody. I mean, they have so many great weapons. I think a lot of guys here in the early going are pressing a little bit. I think us as fans are probably pressing a little bit because, you know, we're not seeing some things that are happening the way we expected them to happen or the way we were dreaming of them to happen with this great young team. But I think they had a very solid approach against one of the best pitchers in the game. I mean, you talk about somebody that knows how to read bats. Well, the Orioles figured him out, and they were able to be patient enough and pick up some big hits and knock him out of that ball game. So, yeah, I was impressed, and it was nice to see, obviously, Gunnar do a couple good things there at the top as well.
How about Bautista last night, right? That was we hadn't talked about him much on this show, and that's on us. But that started to look a little more like a step in the right direction, no?
I think these guys are going to, you know, hopefully work themselves out. And I think any step for Bautista is a step in the right direction. Anytime he can take the hill and just get more game reps, more, you know, tighter situations. I mean, playing against the Diamondbacks, that's pretty intense, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a pretty close ball game. Yeah, and I thought he did great. And I thought all those guys did. I just thought that was a nice game, a nice rebound game for them. And now it's about trying to stack them. And let's hope, you know, they can get another good start tonight and more clutch hits and strong defense and just start building on that. I think you just can't forget how young these guys are. Our expectations, because the rocket ship really hasn't totally blasted off, we're still waiting for that. That's what our expectations are. But we still have to appreciate how young these guys are and how good they are. And they're still learning the game. And I think it's going to – that's what I enjoy, like watching them do things. Even when they struggle, I like, well, that's just part of it, man. They're learning. They're going to be better for it. And so it's all – I think that's fun of watching this young Oriole team, to be honest with you.
Bordy, I do want to let you know that while Dr. Jerry Aloysius Coleman is not young, we do appreciate how good he is, and he's joining the show tomorrow. So,
oh, my gosh. Is he going to talk about the Be More Baseball podcast with Mike Bordick and Jerry Coleman and how we had an awesome guest?
It'll probably come up, Bordy. It'll probably come up.
Bordy, where can you get those podcasts?
Well, you know what? If you go to YouTube and you just go to the Be More Ball podcast.
Yes.
And make sure you hit like and subscribe.
Of course.
It has been sensational. We got great guests. And, of course, if you do that, you could get Alito's Pizza.
Oh! Whoa. You know they don't cut corners, yeah. Bordy.
No, that's for
square.
Sure. Make sure you press Coleman for a couple of those gift cards tomorrow.
Oh. He told me I was getting one for $50, yes, but I believe it when I say it.
Yeah. Bordy, you're the best. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
And that really happened. Dennis Rasmussen, no-hitter, Sky Lamar League, against Todd Ezrine.
I totally believe it.
I'll remember it forever. Yeah, Todd Ezrine.
I want to forget it ever came up.
Coming up next, Purple Rain in the forecast, and the Ravens draft is 2 weeks from Thursday. They have 11 picks. Could they double down at a certain position in this draft? We'll tell you which position next here on The Fan.
Listen, we're blessed to have Kyle and Ardarius back there. We've got good young corners with Marlon. You know, I think we'll see, hopefully. I mean, I would anticipate our secondary is going to play like they did over the last 8, 9, 10 games of the season next year. And that's a comforting thing. I am actually, ironically, looking at a safety upstairs right now in the draft. So,
you know,
but we'll go through it and we'll look at all the players and we'll rank the board like we always do. And if the best guy is a free safety at that pick, then we'll take him. We'll be very happy with it.
Eric DaCosta, end of your presser. I'm pretty sure that was my question, asking about moving Kyle Hamilton back into that role. And a lot of these mock drafts, not Pete Prisco, but a lot of the other ones, and we're going to talk to Chad Ryder from NFL.com coming up at 5, have the Ravens taking a safety. And obviously they have a penchant for drafting corners. So when we talk about doubling down, the back end is probably an area where they double down in this draft.
Absolutely. And I do think there's scenarios where they'll take safety and call it a win, and the more chess pieces, the better. And they'll find a way to make it work. And they can't have enough athletes who can toggle between the box and playing center field and being a glorified linebacker and understanding different assignments based on down and distance and scoreboard. So, yeah, I don't think it's out of the. I mean, I don't think it's unlikely. You know, Prisco does get it wrong sometimes.
Never.
But yeah, look, I think with 11 picks, assuming they hold on to all or most, you certainly could see them taking multiple defensive backs. I'd be shocked if they didn't. I think the depth of this tackle class is so extreme and overwhelming, and they love loading up on those guys and doing it on the second and third day. Like, I'd be stunned if they don't take two D tackles. They might also take a couple of edge players. I think multiple offensive linemen, even though it's not necessarily the greatest offensive line draft in the world, wouldn't shock me at all. If they do use all 12 picks and you tell me, you know, 4 or 5 of them are in their front 7 of their defense, I wouldn't flinch.
11 picks at the moment.
What did I say?
12.
Yeah. But I mean, if you told me they took a linebacker and 4 D linemen,
yes,
I'd be like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, in my breakdown, I had the 2 defensive linemen, 2 edge, safety, corner, inside linebacker. I think they still need help there.
Yep.
Offensive side, I think a guard, a tackle, and preferably a developmental left tackle, a true left tackle, because we've been wondering who that backup left tackle is over the past couple of years. Eric DaCosta loves taking swings at wide receiver.
I would not be surprised at all
if he takes a wide receiver at some point. And John Harbaugh, every time he's met with the media this offseason, seemingly he's been asked about drafting a kicker. So maybe this is the year they finally do.
Yeah. They also remember, and we've talked about this when we've had this discussion, like all their kickers they've found. Like they haven't drafted one of them.
Unsigned free agent.
So they
undrafted free agent.
And I think they deserve the benefit of the doubt in that respect.
Absolutely.
As well.
For sure. They've got as much invested as special teams in terms of skill coaches. I got a punting coach. We've got a kicking coach. We got an assistant kicking coach. We got a special teams coach. We got a head coach who was a special teams coach. Like, yeah, they should be more adept at finding value than anybody else. And they've said Randy Brown's flying all over the place, right? And working kids out and this or that. So they'll have a book on that. And look, on the offensive line part of it, like, if they drafted a center day 2, I wouldn't be mad at him, because the Linderbaum thing is going to be tricky. He's got a massive 5th-year option working in his favor. Like, he can use that to negotiate off of. These guys have a lot of other positions they're going to have to pay. These guys have gone to the playoffs and had 14 and 15 win seasons without having a center making prohibitive money, let alone $20 million plus a year. Like, I just really wonder about how that would fit when you have a couple of wide receivers making real money, when you've got Lamar making what Lamar makes, when you've got a Kyle Hamilton and a Matt Ibike on the other side of the ball. And I'm not saying that you can't pay everybody, but are they really going to derive that kind of value off of a center when the guy making the most money at that position in the entire league and who is better than Linderbaum and should make more than Linderbaum, but as we know, next man up, timing's everything.
Yeah.
That guy was, what, bottom of the second round?
Yeah, and Creed Humphrey makes $18 million per year, where Linderbaum, his fifth-year option, I think it's $22 million. Yeah. So negotiating off that, he's going to eclipse $20 million per year off that number.
Coming up next, we'll continue talking NFL draft as it is 2 weeks from Thursday. At least it begins 2 weeks from Thursday. Chad Reuter, draft expert, NFL.com. What does he think the Ravens are going to do? We'll ask him next here on The Fan.